This is Able Chat. Discuss news, topics and services in your local community regarding disabilities and the NDIS.
Able Chat is about disability. Able Chat is about health. Able Chat is about your community.
Another Monday night. We're doing it all again here, of course, at 89.32 GLF. And it's great to have you here tonight on Able Chat. Able Chat is a program on once a week where we talk disabilities and we talk services and we talk about a whole lot of topics that will either help you if you work in this industry space or perhaps you've got someone in your family that is on NDIS or requiring some services and how to get onto NDIS services. And it's a huge space, and we deal with a whole lot of stuff each and every week. And let me say, last week I was at the Disability Expo, Sydney Disability Expo, at Homebush, and it was a huge turnout. We had so many people come through with different services. And so I was lucky enough to hand out a few cards through the week and get them, convince them to come and join me on the show and talk about what they do, their services and how it works. And, you know, that's what this program is. It's a platform that's for free where we don't promote any particular thing. We promote anyone that's in this space. So, of course, if you've got a service or you're with someone in the disability area, then you're always welcome to come and join me on the show or have a chat over the phone each and every Monday night because it's great to have you. Now, while I was at the expo, one thing I noticed over the weekend was there was a huge space at the moment for SIL homes, SIL housing. Now, that's supported independent living for those people who don't know what that is. And it's very similar to like group sharing, group homes, or there is independent homes as well, in which that the, you know, your family are unable to look after you any further. And basically, you know, you've got like a little bit of issues happening at home, mum's getting a bit tired, or you're looking at being independent, trying to be out into the world independent, but you're facing the problem with public housing and those type of services. So what we're doing is, like, I notice there is a lot of companies now that have gone into the SIL space, and that what they do is they manage group homes and services and the supports around them, and they make most of their money literally by supplying staff and charging your per hour service to be supported. And having a conversation with a colleague tonight before I came on, we were talking about how that SIL space will be changing over the next few months and how plans or the way current NDIS plans are, they will be changing by the way that they will fund them. So group homes will actually become based on funding on the needs of the client, not just the requirements of running the home. Now, what I mean by this, if this is all scrambling your brain, well, I just got to get it off mine. It's very simple. At the moment, when you have a family member that moves into a SIL home, they usually say that, right, we'll pair them up with three other people and we're going to charge them for 24-hour care. Even if there's just one house staff member that does an overnight sleep to make sure everyone's safe through the night. And what they're going to do is the government are going to change that and bring NDIS into form with what you're funded for. So what they will say is, look, if no one in that house needs someone there to watch them all night, we're not going to provide it. We're not going to give you that money for it. Instead, we're going to give you money to get them out of the house and get them out doing stuff in the community, like go to the club or go to the pub or do what they want to do. And it's a great system that really needs an overhaul, because the spend, you can imagine, is huge. To run 24 hours, you know, you're paying staff 24 hours, and also you're charging your clients 24 hours based on whether they need it or not. And so we're going to be following up that in the next few weeks and have that conversation with people in that space to see how it can affect new clients or potential clients. And we're also going to talk to a couple of providers that do provide cell housing, especially out in this Liverpool, Green Valley area, or anywhere across the nation where you're listening from, on playback. And, of course, we'll find more information in that space to help you along that journey. Now, tonight we have, we've got what's on in the area, plus we're going to head down over the waters to catch up with a friend tonight. We're going to be talking about medication and medication forms that you may require in your home or if you have someone supporting them, and the difference between service providers of them providing what requirements you may have if you're not sure, or you've got a family member that is just about to start some style of medication that needs support.
Join the conversation at www.ablechat.com.au.
And give us a bit of a reading on something very exciting that they presented at their school today, and I found out about it. I need to be up high. Yeah, I know. And of course, you know, what I love about the new school system that we have, not the old daggy one that we went to. Now school's a little bit cool for a lot of people. And so I've got a special guest. I've got Kaylin online, and she's all the way from Liverpool. And today, well, she did a bit of a speech for school, a presentation, I suppose you would say. And I found out about this little presentation, and I thought, well, you know what? I've got to have it on the program. You know, we've got to get out there. We've got to listen to our story that we try to preach here each and every week, of course, on Able Chat. And so let me just put her on here. I think I've got you, Kays. Let me have a look. Just try that. Say hello.
Hi.
Oh, I have got you there. That's exciting. All right. Now, Kays, now you were at school today, so tell me what was all about this, how you ended up making this presentation. What was the deal?
So basically we have this thing going on where we have to do this presentation, and then it goes on to our reports, and then, like, if we have the best presentations, we move up a grade.
Wow.
And then we go on, and then, like, so basically I'm in year five, so I go in varsity fives.
Yeah.
And then the fours go in varsity fours.
Right. Okay. So it's almost like a little bit like a debate without the debating.
It kind of is a debate.
Yeah.
But, like, because we do debate to, like, the other year fives and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sounds very exciting. I'm quite excited. So, all right, we're going to read. Maybe I should find you a little bit of music, shouldn't I? Because we need some background music. Let me find something here just to get you in the mood. Hopefully it will work. No, that one won't work. I better find me one. Here we go. All right, here we go. So I'm going to turn this right down so I can still hear you. All right, because it's good when you've got some background music. It makes things a whole lot better. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Read away. All right, now you've got to come in nice and close to the mic. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Lovely.
This is about disability. People should not be treated than wrong. People with disabilities are special people, and they deserve to be treated the same way as everyone else. You should never talk bad about anyone because you don't know their stories of life. And why they have a good disability, some people may need to use wheelchairs or walking aids just to help them get around. So if you see someone that has a disability, always offer some help. Always offer them some help. It may seem hard for you, but it will mean a big thing for them. So please be kind to others. From Kaylee.
I've just realised that's amazing. Absolutely beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, just rewinding from all of that, that's, you know, like, meaning that, you know, even if someone's got a wheelchair, we shouldn't treat them any different, should we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we should always try and understand why they can't do something instead of just taking it for granted that, you know, they're not like us, that we can do it. So how do you do at school? If you have someone at school that's struggling a little bit, you know, what do you do as a person to try and help them?
Like, what do you mean by that? Like anxiety or like disability?
Yeah. In disability, you know, like, okay, you got someone at school in a wheelchair. What would you do to try and help them out, like, if they're at school in a wheelchair?
And, like, if they're trying to get something, I would go over to them and say, do you need any help with anything? Do you want me to get it for you?
Yeah.
And if they say, are you sure? I'll be like, yeah, and then I'll grab it for them.
Yeah, of course. You'd help them out, wouldn't you? Yeah.
And then I'll play with them.
And you know another thing I noticed too is people in wheelchairs, it's really, really hard when you're tall and they're in a wheelchair quite low. So I always try and make sure that I go down to their level, try and find a seat to sit sort of closer to their level. So then they're not looking up at me like towering over the top of them. It's like, yeah, I'm on the same level. You know, we get together, we do stuff together. And also if someone can't read as well or a little bit slower, you know, you just got to be patient, don't you? You know, get through it. Yeah.
There is this kid in my class that can't really read.
Right.
So basically, like, if he needs help with anything, he goes to, like, one of my classmates and he'll be like, oh, can you please help me? And then they'll say, what do you need help with?
Yeah.
And then they won't know the word because it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And, like, I would have to go, he would ask me and I'd be like, okay, sure, like, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell him the word.
Yeah, I love it. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sharing and caring. So we're reaching out this week to all those people that are at school that are struggling a little bit, yeah, and it's just a reminder that we've got to be patient. We've got to try and understand, you know, what's happening in their life may not be as easy as it is with us, and also that we care and love each other. Yeah, it's really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love your words, Kaylin. I love it. We're going to go to a song. I thought I'd play something for Kaylin because, you know, she'll probably like this one. It's a bit of... TGLF, of course, on demand or in person at ablechat.com.au. It's great to have you each week. And when we talk about NDIS stuff and we catch up, just some things that I thought you might want to know this week is if you're listening across the nation, we do have listeners in every state listening to us, and it's great to have you listening in each week as we talk through our subjects. But the NDIS itself, National Disability Insurance Agency, are doing a rollout. rollout of PACE. And PACE is the new operating system that will replace the current one that we have at the moment, which is called PRODA. And they're doing them across all the states that I can see, but I can give you just a bit of a hint of where they are and when, because they've just happened here in Sydney, and to be honest, I didn't even know what was happening. And I have reached out to NDIA many a times to ask them for this information, to have it in the program, so then all the people across the states will know. So Adelaide are having theirs on August the 29th at 9 a.m. at the Adelaide Convention Centre. We've got Geelong in Melbourne at the Ridges Geelong. And, of course, that's on August the 10th. Do we make that one? Yeah, a couple of days at 10 a.m. 29th of August is in Adelaide as well, a different one for support coordinators. Brisbane is September the 1st at 9 a.m. At Brisbane Convention Centre. If you're in Wollongong, there's one on the 15th, information session for NDIS providers at Novotel Wollongong in North Beach. Perth have one in August the 31st, a PACE information session for general providers, which is free, and another one for Brisbane on September the 1st at Brisbane Convention Centre. But don't worry if you miss them, because they will be rolling out. I find all this information, of course, at eventbrite.com.au. Check them out, because just type into the search NDIS in my area, and it hopefully will load through with that information so you know what you're doing. All right, now, so tonight, well, I've got my girlfriend on here. I'm just lining her up as we speak, because as we talk, have we got... I've got to give her a name. Each week I have her on. We've got to think of some creative name to give her. Let me think what name I can give her this week. Let me go through the music playlist. We have got K-Star. That's it. I didn't know K-Star, the rock and roll waltz singer. But either way, we've got K-Star online. Are you there, Kay?
I am, darling, and how are you this evening?
I am fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And let me say, what a weekend we had here with the expo. Do you have disability expos down in Hobart and Launceston?
We do, but not till later on in the year, about November.
Oh, good. Well, when they have one and you find out about it, just let me know and we'll give it a bit of a plug. I only just got a reply back from Sydney Disability Expo Group, they only just responded to me this week, so it was a bit too late to go through it. We were going to have one of their ambassadors on, but I've reached back to them and asked them. We'd still love to talk to, especially their ambassadors and things like that, which is really important. So tonight I thought what we'd do is we're going to talk about medication. Oh, what a boring subject. But it's not really. The reason why I thought we'd talk about medication is because, you know, a lot of parents don't realise if your child has just been put on medication, there is a lot of sort of things that you need to know to sort of get it set up, you know? So I'm just going to put some music on there because I can't stand this in my own voice. So the basics of meds. What do we need to know if your child has just been put on a med?
What the doctor has prescribed it for is probably the most important thing.
So what they've prescribed it for. So why does that make a difference?
Well, it might be medication that can be used for a number of different ailments.
Right.
Example.
Yeah.
You could have one that's not only just used for epilepsy, but it's also be used as a mood stabiliser.
Right. Okay, I get that. So it's if it's being used for epilepsy, it would come under a different classification to...
the mood stabiliser.
Right, right. Mm. So does that fall into the restrictive practices area?
It does, because NDIS have just decided that there's quite a few medications and they've classed them as medical restraints.
Right. So they weren't medical restraints before, but they are now.
Yes, and the only way you can get around it not being a chemical restraint is by either your GP, your specialist, your psychologist, your psychiatrist, whoever prescribed that med.
Yeah.
They have to use a special form for the NDIS.
Right, okay.
And that's been filled out. And they've got to actually put in there what it is used for. Now, if anyone puts, I'm going to say this very plainly because I've said it that many times, that it is to treat autism. There is no such drug to treat autism.
Okay. All right.
But, like, someone may have some anxiety, so they're given a medication, say, risperidone, for example. But if the doctor puts it on the form that's there to treat the anxiety associated with the autism, must you have a what they call behaviour support plan as well in place.
Yeah.
Then it's not classed as chemical restraint.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. So it's literally the way that it is. The doctor words it to whether it is a restraint or not a restraint.
I'm not sure in the rest of Australia or even in Sydney, but we actually have what they class as senior practitioners here. Anyone that has to have a restraint of any kind, it has to actually go through them to be approved first.
Yes, we sort of have exactly the same. I think it's exactly the same here. I know that each state in the restrictive practices are governed by that state, so that the rules do change. But generally, your senior practitioners are the person that oversees the practice, I suppose you would say, the restrictive practice.
Yeah,
and the rules. And I know that they definitely do list certain medications on the list and some are not, but I know that, you know, as you just said then, you can have one particular medication that may be used for something completely different that's not a restrictive practice. It may be just as you say, an asthma medication, but they're using it as a calming technique, which could be classed as a restrictive practice.
Yes, exactly.
So if they don't word it the right way, you're in trouble, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, I was actually asked by a workmate the other day. We've got two participants.
Mm.
One has it for epilepsy and one has it as a mood stabiliser medication.
Right.
And he said, how come we got put in like a chemical restraint notification for one person but not the other?
Yeah.
And I just explained, one has it to control their epilepsy. The other one has it as a mood stabiliser, so therefore, because they're putting it as a mood stabiliser and they're restricting his behaviours, that's why that person's got to have their chemical restraint notification, and the other person doesn't.
Mm.
And he said, that makes sense. And it's quite a lot with a lot of medication at the moment. Especially psychotics and anti-anxiety and any mood stabilising medication.
Yeah. And that opens up the whole bag. So we get through that part where, you know, your medication's been prescribed, even if it's a blood pressure tablet, I suppose. They're quite common. I mean, blood pressure tablets are. They're not a restricted practice drug, but they are definitely a drug that's regularly taken. So if, for instance, that they take it twice a day, for instance, for a short term, what do we do? I know... with us, what we do is we have a MAF, a medication access form, and we send that with the parents to give to the doctor to fill out what their medication is, the dosage and the frequency. What do you have down in Lonnie? What's your version of that?
We have what we call a MAR, which is basically a medication administration record.
Right.
Same thing, very much. And We also have a form that the doctor has to fill out and the reason why they have certain medication.
Right.
Mm. And then, yeah, once we get it back, it might, like I said, might show that this person is taking Tegretol or epilepsy.
Yep.
Or for seizures.
Yeah, and I mean, it. We have a rule with us, if you're someone you've got to administer medication, it has to be in a pill, like a blister pack.
A Webster pack.
A few weeks ago, we were talking to a provider that does stuff for disability, such as, you know, like incontinence and bedding and that stuff. And she was actually talking about a new pill bob facility thing, that what you do is you take it to your chemist and they load all the medication in, and what it does is it actually has an alarm on it and reminds you when your medication's to be taken. And it locks your medication in. You can't touch it until that very specific time. So if you forget when you take a medication, or you got someone that's a little bit absent-minded, it's almost like a living box reminder thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen them actually down here in Tassie. They're quite popular.
Right. They're great.
They're like a pill timer, yeah.
A pill timer. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. Object, because you know, like some people with disabilities, they are quite absent-minded. They, you know, their time is not really something that they focus on. They love routine, but not time. You know, they'll look at the clock and they'll know 11 o'clock that I have a cup of tea. But when it comes to medication, that's always sort of second hand. It's like, oh yeah, well, I know when I have medication because Mum gives it to me in the morning. So yeah, and the idea is you can still live independently. So if you've got someone at home that's not good with time, this will literally set off an alarm and then it will open up with your pills ready to go. It's a great facility. Now, when you administer medication down there, obviously besides the usual standard, you know, gloves and write the time down and everything, is there any particular steps that you take for those workers that haven't given out medication for a while? What are some of the little tricks that you think work well in the industry?
I guess one of the things that we do is going up to the person saying, is your name Joe Bloggs?
Yeah.
And they might be able to say yes or no.
Yeah.
And make sure it's for the right person. Remember your webinars, they are now.
Yeah.
That's right person, right dose, right time, right documentation. Just make sure that whatever's in, say, the person's Webster pack or their packet corresponds to what's on that mark. So check it over. If you're not sure, get someone that's more senior to check it over with you.
Yeah, right. What are the five rights? Is it five rights or four
Seven.
Rights? Seven
that's
rights.
Right person.
Yeah, right person, right time. Right date, right time.
Right person, time.
Right medication.
Right medication, right route,
that's right
documentation.
Yeah. What do we miss? Do we get the all of seven? I think we did. Yeah, right person, right time, right medication, right route, right dose, right
documentation.
We're missing one. What are we missing? One of those. But either way, you think of the rights, don't you? And it is right, because you want to make sure that that's the right person. Doesn't matter. It's amazing how many circumstances I've seen over the years where the wrong person with the wrong medication, it's so easily done. It all looks the same, especially in a plaque. And it quite often chemists get it a little bit wrong. They're meant to have like a photo of the person so you know it's definitely theirs. But, you know, when you put a pill bob in it to pierce the actual paper, I suppose you would say, you know, your pills can go flying out accidentally, you know, especially if they're very chunky or there's a lot of them. And usually, I swear the biggest problem is a pill pops out and falls on the floor. What do we do with it?
Well, you've got to dispose of it.
You're meant to dispose of it unless it's life-threatening. So, you know, quite often, you know, I've had to pick it up and go, look, we've got to give it a bit of a brush. You know, it hasn't landed in poo or anything. It's just landed on the mat and we'll be okay. And, you know, because, I mean, if it's something that they're relying on for their life, it's important to do it. If you have the wrong medication or something's missing and you do the count, you go, there's a pink, a blue, an orange and a green, and all four are not there, you should still give them the medication?
No.
You don't?
No. You ring the pharmacist?
Yes.
Or the doctor, say, this is what's in the Webster pack, this is what's on your ma.
Yeah.
What do we do? And you get a response from them.
Yeah.
And what to do next, basically.
Yeah.
And it might be just the case that they might say, yes, give them their meds.
Yeah, that you need those ones.
And then go back to the chemist and...
Yeah,
this other one.
That's right. Or go to Tomorrow's if it's got, like, the five tablets in there at the right the same time. You know, sometimes they've done that. I've skipped a day when I've had to and then go back to the chemist, get a replacement for that day, you know.
Exactly.
That's wrong. Yeah. It is, it can make a lot of difference in a person's life. And then, of course, documentation. Always, if your staff member hasn't written down when it was taken... and who took it, then they're not doing the right thing. They need to make sure that they're definitely writing this information down. It's in a register because not only is it great for the service that they will be audited on their medication practices, but also if there's a question of, did he have this? Many times, you know, you get to the end of the day and you go, oh, gosh, did John get his medication, you know? And... yeah, it's written right there, you know, and you can be upfront and honest and say, look, I'm sorry, things went wrong today and he didn't get his medication. You know, ring the doctor, ring the parents or ring the chemist and go, is this okay?
Yeah.
Most of the time they just say catch up, you know, just hold off lunch and do tonight.
Yeah, and if you're still not real sure, ring Poisons Information and they'll give you an answer.
Have you ever had to ring them? I have.
Yeah, quite a few times, actually.
I had a client that decided to help themselves to a bottle of dishwashing liquid. You know, use it as cordial. That was interesting. Yeah, he had foam coming out of his ears for hours. It was beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
But he was unharmed and happy. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's a lot to learn from all this. There's a lot in that package, of course, with medication, you know. And I think really what we brought to the table tonight is, as you said, when they're writing up your medication, make sure that the doctor is very clear of what it's being used for, because it really can make a difference between them having this constant restrictive practice. You know, being reviewed, it takes a lot of money and a lot of time with restrictive practices. They're there for a reason, but your medication may not even be a restrictive practice. And it really does come down to the way it's worded, doesn't it?
Exactly. And like I said, what it's used for.
Yeah, what it's used for. Yeah, and it's quite clear. You know, we have some really important medications out there that we do need. Of course, and, you know, that's what it is. We'll try and take any help as we can get.
Yep, and always please make sure that your support workers are medication endorsed. And if they're not, don't let them give meds, because they might be giving them your child or your participant or whoever they're supporting something, and they don't even know what they're giving them. What medication or why they're giving it to that person.
Absolutely. Well, we've definitely learned something tonight. That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, I think I should play you a song. Let me have a look. I've found something for you tonight. We'll be right back.
3 FM. Disability.
This is Able Chat.
Go to ablechat.com.au for more information and to ask us your questions.
This is Able Chat with Sandy B. And of course, yes, well, I've got my girlfriend on the line all the way from Tasmania. And let me say, it's never boring. We learn a lot tonight, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah, we learn a lot about medication and we learn a lot about pill bobs. Anything else happening down in Tassie we should know about?
No, only that it's very cold.
It's very still. Cold, freezing cold. Yeah, we've had two cold days here and it's been a bit of a change because, not freezing, but like colder, because we sort of had a heat wave for a week and we just didn't know what to do. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually didn't have to wear a jumper for a whole week, and now it's back on again. But it's okay. We're living life. That's all that matters. Now, we was talking earlier on the show about PACE information. Have they done the PACE road show down there yet, down in Tassie?
No, they haven't as of yet, but I think, as I told you a few weeks ago, that Tassie was actually the trial site for PACE.
Right, okay. So have you had to deal with it yet, personally yourself?
I have.
Oh, and how is that? How's that working for you?
The plans, they are written out so well.
Okay.
But they're a pain.
Right. Okay. All right. So they're sort of written out a lot better. But they're a bit painful. To access,
yes.
Do you mean? To access or?
No, it's... more for like your support coordinators and your managers, because everything has to be uploaded in bulk.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know. So you're coming towards the end of your plans. So
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
3 months out. 3 months out. You got to get a hold of all your allied health and. Psychologist and psychiatrist and whoever else you may utilise.
Yeah.
To write out their plans because they've got to be in with 6 weeks before the end of your plan now.
Right, okay. All right. Interesting. All right, well, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what comes out of that anyhow, I'm sure. All right, well, thanks. Thank you, darling. Thank you for being on tonight. I really appreciate it. It's always good to have you. Of course, each couple of weeks we have, we do our little thing together, don't we? Our little broadcast and information. And it's good because you also get a different view from different states and how it works as well. And medication's one of those that is sort of similar, but we have a couple of differences. And it's great for all those listeners across the nation. And thank you for making us number one wherever you're listening to. All right, Ten, I'll see you. I'll talk to you probably next week or the week after.
All right, sweetheart.
All right.
Join the conversation at www.ablechat.com.au.